My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest international developments, specifically in the Middle East, ranging from the Obama administration's public willingness to negotiate directly with the Iranians over their nuclear program, to the ongoing chaos in Egypt, to news last week that Israel struck a Syrian convoy headed towards the Lebanese border. And, Mr. Ambassador, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. Glad to be with you.
Well, let's start with Iran and the Obama administration essentially saying the last few days that it's ready to embark on direct negotiations with the Iranians. That's not something that's happened, although Obama, as early as 2008, said it was something he wanted to see happen. So is this something that could potentially create a breakthrough in a positive way, or is this leading us down a bad path right now?
Well, as you say, this has been a longstanding desire of the of President Obama to talk directly with Iran about the nuclear weapons program. They've had only very unsuccessful, fitful talks in the last 4 years. I have to tell you, I'm very worried with the new Secretary of State, John Kerry, with a potential new Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, that these new kids on the block are going to say, we can do better than everybody's done before. We know how to deal with the Iranian leadership, and we're going to negotiate something on the nuclear weapons program. You know, of course, you can always reach agreement with an adversary by giving away your position. And I'm just worried that in their desire to be able to say, see, we had a success, we cut a deal, that in effect will legitimize the Iranian nuclear weapons program and give them the capability to proceed unimpeded toward their long-sought objective of deliverable nuclear weapons, which would be a grave threat to Israel and a threat to our other friends in the region, the Arab states of the Persian Gulf, and frankly, a threat worldwide if Iran were to give those devices to terrorists.
Ambassador Bolton, whether it's your time at state, your time serving us at the United Nations, what did you learn about Iranian tactics, Iranian negotiation strategies that should give us an idea of how they would approach these talks if they were to occur and perhaps continue to try and run out the clock?
Well, they're very patient. They have a long-term view. They've clearly got some things they'd like to have. They'd like to see some of the economic sanctions eased. They'd like assurances that their nuclear program's not going to be attacked. And they want to buy time so that they can continue to work on that program. Over the past 10 years, they've had great success negotiating with the West. They've taken us to the cleaners every time we've sat down with them. And as I mentioned, I'm very worried they're about to do it to us again.
The issue of containment came up in an awkward way for Chuck Hagel at his confirmation hearing last week, saying that the administration does not have a position on containment. He was reminded that they do have a position opposed to containment. But as you listen to the rhetoric, does this seem to you like an administration that's ready to do what's necessary to make sure there are no Iranian nuclear weapons that are available?
No, I don't, unfortunately. You know, the president, the vice president, everybody always says all options are on the table, meaning the possibility of military force by the United States. But I don't think anybody seriously believes that will happen. Certainly they don't in Israel, and I fear, even more importantly, they don't worry about it in Tehran. So that's why, although the purported position, the public position, is that the administration is against containment, I think that's only their policy today. When today's policy of prevention fails, as it will given the way they're conducting it, then I think their policy tomorrow will be containment, which I think is a grave risk. And in any event, even if I'm wrong and you could contain a nuclear Iran, it doesn't stop with Iran. Saudi Arabia will get nuclear weapons, Egypt will, Turkey will, perhaps others, and therefore in the very volatile Middle East, you could have in a relatively short period of time half a dozen nuclear weapon states.
There's obviously been a lot of focus on the Chuck Hagel nomination, a lot of different lawmakers and policy professionals talking about why they're concerned about him being in charge of the Defense Department. John Kerry pretty much coasted through, whether it was senatorial courtesy or just people confident in his ability to do the job. What concerns you so much about him being the new Secretary of State?
Well, I think he has a record of naivete and faith in negotiations that's almost theological and unfortunately not assertive and protective of American interests. So I'm very worried that as bad as the first term was, the second term may be even worse.
Let's shift to Egypt now, Mr. Ambassador. And of course, for the last several weeks, there's been plenty of chaos in the streets, brutal crackdowns in some cases by the authorities against demonstrators who are furious with this Muslim Brotherhood government for trying to ram through major constitutional reforms that give it much more power than the previous constitution did. Some say these protests are getting to the point where this new government could be in danger of being toppled. Would that be a good thing for us? Are those predictions right about this government being in danger? How do you view all this?
Well, I think the government is in trouble for a couple of reasons. First, the Muslim Brotherhood, when it came to power, had such overwhelming majorities in parliament that, of course, the military dismissed it, which left Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood president, pretty much free to govern on his own. And he has moved very rapidly in the constitution drafting process and through a variety of other steps to move toward a radical Islamicist government, Sharia law and all the rest of it. That's obviously discontented a lot of people. And maybe more important, in the short term, the economy has not recovered, and unemployment remains high, tourism is somewhere in the basement, and it's hard to see how that gets turned around. So a variety of factors, I think, have contributed to what you rightly called chaos in the streets, and it's not at all clear how this is going to sort out or whether the military will have to step in. But in all events, we can see that Morsi has not abandoned his ideology. Even as we speak, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is visiting Cairo. First time an Iranian leader has been there since the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power in Iran in 1979. So there's a tangible piece of evidence of risk to the United States caused by the fall of Hosni Mubarak. And it shows, if you needed any further evidence, where exactly Mohamed Morsi and the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood stand.
There was an effort just last week by Senator Rand Paul to stop the United States government from giving weaponry, including F-16s. Missiles, I believe, were part of the foreign aid as well. It was ultimately defeated pretty handily as part of the temporary debt ceiling extension. What did you make of the Paul effort?
Well, I would not cut off military aid to Egypt yet. We're in a very delicate game here trying to extend our influence. And, you know, these weapons obviously would go to the Egyptian military, where, having put in billions of dollars over the years, hopefully we've still got some influence. And I think that's what we want to try to play to our advantage. If we're unable to do that, if Mohamed Morsi, for example, proceeds to abrogate the Camp David Accord with Israel, or even if he doesn't do it formally, if he guts the land for peace provisions, then I'd be prepared to cut that aid off. And in any event, I'd suspend it in the short term. But I think we ought to force them to go first. I don't think we want to be responsible for breaking our part of the Camp David deal.
Well, let's shift to Israel and Syria now. And for the most part, the Israelis have been very quiet about the civil war, for lack of a better term, of what's going on inside Syria. But last week we learned about, although the Israeli government won't confirm it, the strike on what appeared to be a convoy headed towards the Lebanese border. Does that suggest that if Israel's willing to take that step, and something they've been relatively quiet on, that something largely nefarious was afoot? What have you learned about what prompted that raid?
Yeah, there's still some ambiguity. As you say, the Israeli government's not really confirmed it, but I think the best information we have at this point is that it was an attack on a convoy taking advanced air defense systems into Lebanon. And I think the reason those systems were moving to Lebanon really has more to do with Iran than it does to do with Syria. I think they were intended to go to areas controlled by the terrorist group Hezbollah in Lebanon, because I think at some point we're going to see another confrontation between Hezbollah and Israel, as we did in the 2006 war, whether Iran is getting ready to strike in response to an Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear weapons program, whether Iran may want Hezbollah to strike first to divert Israel from the possibility of an attack against Iran, other possible scenarios, I don't know. But what that was intended to do, I think, was make life hard for the Israeli Air Force trying to suppress missile fire from Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so Israel couldn't let that happen. That's why they took the step of attacking a target in Syria, not so much dealing with the civil war there, but dealing with that threat from Hezbollah in Lebanon.
we'll certainly be watching, and we'll be glad to call on you for analysis as things develop. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you, sir. Former Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.